For today's prophecy update, I want to talk about what I would argue the U.S. midterm election results were actually about. This, as even now, important races are being contested and votes recounted in Florida, Georgia, and also in Arizona. However, before we get there, I want to first mention a couple of things, the first of which is, as many of you know, today is not only Veterans Day, it's also the 100-year anniversary of the end of World War I. And every year at this time, we take the time to honor our military. And I'm hoping you'll kindly indulge me as I share an email I received from an online member who is currently deployed in Afghanistan. He writes, "Dear Pastor JD, I have been an overseas follower of your preaching for several years now. I met you when I was stationed at MCBH in 2012 after my chief introduced me to you and your wonderful congregation. I study eschatology, and apologetics, and your teachings have been a great resource for me, and I so appreciate how the Lord works for you. I am currently deployed to Afghanistan, and I have been here for what feels like an eternity. Come this January, after 15 months, I will return home to California to be with my family and meet, for the first time, my second-born daughter." I wanted to share this because he also included an attachment of a paper he wrote concerning the serving in the military and the profound sacrifice that's made on the part of those who do serve. And that's really why I wanted to share this. But I think you would agree that it's not hyperbole to say that we owe a tremendous debt of gratitude to those who have served and those who are today serving. And so what I want to do at this time is have everyone who has served, or even if you are serving in the military, would you please stand so that we can thank you and honor you and pray for you. Please remain standing. You know, there's a saying that it's not for children, it's not what's taught, it's what's caught. Well, I made it a practice to always thank somebody that is in uniform when I'm out and about and thank them for their service. So, and oftentimes I'll have my children with me, my boys when they were young, and they would see me go up and, you know, shake hands and thank them for serving. And it was really just a blessing to me when my daughter, one time we were at Lowe's, and she saw this guy in uniform, and she walks up to him and says, "Sir, thank you for your service to our country." <I'm> like, I said to her, I said, "Sabia, it's better you than me, because when I walk up to him, they see this Arab approaching them. It's a little bit different, but..." Anyway, I just want you all to know, and I speak on behalf of a grateful church and really a grateful online church. And by the way, for those of you online, we want to honor you and thank you and pray for you as well. So if you would join with me, we'll do that at this time. Loving Father in heaven, we are so honored to have this opportunity to honor those who serve in our military and those who have served, those veterans, of which there are so many. Lord, we thank you for them. We pray your blessing on them. Lord, make your face to shine upon them. Lift up your countenance to them. Give them that peace that only you can give. Especially those who are overseas in foreign lands. Lord, keep them. Keep them for their families and keep their families for them. Lord, you made the ultimate sacrifice as they too are making a sacrifice. And for that, we are so very grateful. And we give you all the glory for it. And we thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. God bless you. Appreciate your patience. There's one more thing I need to mention, and it's that I'm going to be gone for 3 weeks. I'm going to be traveling this week to New York. I have the profound privilege of speaking at Calvary Chapel of Hope with Pastor Claude Stauffer on Long Island this coming Sunday, and then after New York, I'm off to Israel for our tour, which we had planned actually about 2 years ago now with Amir Sarfati of Behold Israel. Appreciate very much your prayers for this tour. It's a very large group of about 230 people, and we're going to have 5 buses. And so I wanted to mention this, and I actually shared this at our prayer meeting on Tuesday night. I know that this year has consisted of more travel than usual, and it does seem that I've been gone a lot, but I want you to know that I have declined several speaking invitations in the upcoming year in 2019, invitations that would have taken me out of the pulpit on a rather regular basis, and that's not something that I'm willing to do. And the reason I'm not willing to do that, and I've declined these invitations to speak, is because this is my church, and it is my privilege to be the pastor of this church, and I love you all very much, and you're my priority. I never want you to think for a moment that I'm going to ever get caught up in all of what God is doing. Believe me, God keeps me on a very short leash. I think it's down to about 2 links now, so it's very short. But I just wanted to assure you that my commitment is to this church, and in the upcoming year, I'm very excited about what God is doing here and looking forward to sharing with you some very exciting things. Other than maybe taking a much-needed vacation next year, I am going to limit the number of times that I'm away from you in 2019, again, should the Lord tarry. So I just kind of wanted to reiterate and commit to you, maybe recommit to you, my commitment to you. And I hope you know that I am very committed. I have no intentions of going anywhere. I was telling somebody on Tuesday night at the prayer meeting, you're stuck with me. You're not going to get rid of me that easily. So, pardon me. All right. So, Pastor Mack is going to be filling in for me while I'm gone. And again, I very much would appreciate and covet your prayers for those that are going from this church to Israel, for travel safety, for good health, no sickness. You really need to be praying for that. Whoever's not praying, that's why I'm still sick. So you need to be praying for that. Pray for the health, that nobody gets sick. All right, let's get to our prophecy update. Appreciate your patience. So I want to talk about what I believe the U.S. midterm elections were really about as the contested results play out. I'm of the belief that what's happening here in America has prophetic significance concerning Israel. Namely, that of the dismantling of America, bringing destruction to America, which would effectively render America inconsequential in terms of supporting Israel when, not if, Israel is attacked. Now, I know that that is a very bold statement, and if you'll hear me out, I'll explain how I get there. I know there are those who would respectfully disagree, and I'll just agree to disagree agreeably, but I do not see America in the pages of Bible prophecy. Some believe there is a very ambiguous reference in Ezekiel 38 concerning this protest, chiefly by Saudi Arabia, who is, as we speak, aligned with Israel, by the way. And they protest this Russia, Iran, Turkey-led alliance of nations that attack Israel in Ezekiel 38 to take a spoil, to take what Israel has, the prosperity that Israel has. And it is thought by some that the young lions of Tarshish are the UK and the US, who also, along with Sheba and Dedan, which is the ancient name for Saudi Arabia, protest this attack. But there are details in the Ezekiel 38 prophecy that make it very clear in no uncertain terms that no nation and no one other than the God of Israel defends Israel. In other words, the United States is not going to come to the defense of Israel when they're attacked. And it's for this reason that it would stand to reason that something needs to happen to America in order for America to be absent from the prophetic picture. What are you saying, Pastor? Here's what I'm saying. I'll try to be as clear as I possibly can. Our battle is not against Republican or Democrat, flesh and blood, liberal or conservative, right or left, any of that. Our battle is against these forces, these demonic entities in the realm of the spirit. And what Satan is seeking to do is to destroy America so that America cannot come to the defense of Israel. That's what's happening. I know that might sound maybe somewhat simplistic, but that's what's happening. That's what this is all about. Are you saying that what's happening in America is all about Israel? Yes, I am. How so? Well, the one nation, and by the way, one president that stands in the way of the plan to destroy Israel is America and this president. So again, just thinking it through, wouldn't it stand to reason that they would need to be taken out of the way? Again, please hear me out. I would submit that this is exactly what's happening in the spiritual realm as it relates to the United States. I want to begin with a Ynet News report. We actually looked at this a couple weeks ago about how if U.S. President Donald Trump fails to present his peace plan in the weeks following the U.S. November 6 midterm elections, French President Emmanuel Macron intends to present his own peace plan. Of course, this was prior to the elections. Fast forward to yesterday in this Fox News report about President Trump ripping Macron over an insulting call for a European army after he landed in France. They have the World War I 100-year celebration and commemoration taking place there now. It came by way of a tweet from Trump in which he tweeted that, quote, President Macron of France has just suggested that Europe build its own military in order to protect itself from the U.S., China, and Russia. Very insulting, but perhaps Europe should first pay its fair share of NATO, which the U.S. subsidizes greatly. By the way, this is the same French president who back in May of this year announced that he will form a 10-nation coalition of the willing. Not 9, not 11, 10. Some suggesting that this is the 10 horns and the 10 toes of both Daniel and Revelation. We'll see. Well, actually we won't, because we won't be here. Oh, by the way, it's also the same French president that the Economist asks whether or not he's Europe's savior, with this magazine cover pictured here showing Macron walking on water. Oh, and one more thing. It's also the same French president that declared he will govern like the Roman god Jupiter. Be that as it may, it seems the pressure is on and the proverbial clock is ticking vis-a-vis Macron, and the jury is still out on how all of this will play out. And this because it's not just about our midterm elections here in the U.S., which the whole world was watching. It's also about the elections in Israel and Trump's peace plan in the Middle East. On Friday, the Jerusalem Post published an article in which they asked, what will come first, Israeli elections or the U.S. peace plan rollout? In it they say, quoting, two clocks are ticking, one in Jerusalem and one in Washington. The problem is that for the time being, they are not synchronized. With the midterm elections over in the U.S., President Donald Trump now has the bandwidth and time to shift his focus back to foreign policy issues, including the so-called, quote-unquote, deal of the century that he longs to broker between Israel and the Palestinians. The finishing touches are being put on the plan, and it could be rolled out as early as next month or in January. Enter Jared Kushner and another Jerusalem Post report about how he's now preparing his debut with the Mideast peace plan. Let me quote the Post. Trump's son-in-law will be the public face of his White House peace effort, breaking a 2-year habit of working behind the scenes. Along the way, he is granted a mere handful of interviews, none of which have provided much in substance of a plan that has, up until now, remained the administration's most closely guarded secret. But, we're about to see a lot more of Jared Kushner as he puts the finishing touches on a project he hopes to be his crowning achievement in government. Kushner is preparing to sell it to the public. In other words, anytime now. Anytime now. Well, to me, the timing of all of this is very interesting, especially given this breaking Israel news report about which Jerusalem mayoral candidate will build the temple. Here's some of what the article had to say, quoting, Jerusalem will have a new mayor next week. This was on Thursday, so this upcoming week. And more than any other election, does that sound familiar? This year will decide the religious nature of Israel's capital. The Sanhedrin has addressed a letter to the two candidates emphasizing the role of the third temple in municipal current policy. By the way, parenthetically, let me say that said third temple is the temple that we're told will be built during and in the 7-year tribulation. And arguably, it has to be at the beginning of the 7-year tribulation, which some suggest will be part of the peace plan, will be for Israel to be able to rebuild their temple. And we know it has to be somewhat at the beginning, because at the midpoint, according to the prophecies in Daniel and even in Revelation, the Antichrist will set himself up in the newly rebuilt tribulation temple, if you will, and demand to be worshipped as God. And when the Jews realize that this is not their Messiah, he will commit this abomination that causes desolation, and the Jews will flee. Many believe, present company included, that it will be to modern-day Jordan, an old ancient rock city known as Petra. By the way, some believe that that's where actually Job lived, was in Petra, in modern-day Jordan. So they're all talking about a peace plan. Where's the peace plan? If you don't bring a peace plan, we'll bring our own peace plan. And by the way, your elections there in the U.S., what about our elections in Israel? And oh, by the way, our mayoral candidates, one of them is going to build the new temple. You know, let me just, I was thinking about this on the way here this morning, how that, for those of us who are students of Bible prophecy, we can get too close to the proverbial tree of prophecy to see the forest. And what I mean by that is that we're always, you know, we're so focused on Bible prophecy, sometimes I think we need to step back and just look at what's taking place. I mean, 5 years ago, I can assure you that in these prophecy updates, we weren't talking about stuff like this. We are today. Let me continue to quote this article. The Sanhedrin wrote a similar letter to U.S. President Donald Trump after he won the election, calling on him to take a role in building the third temple, just as Persian King Cyrus helped the Jews, build the second temple after the Babylonian exile in the 6th century. Make no mistake about it, Israel will do everything and stop at nothing for that temple. That has profound ramifications on the grander scheme of things, eschatologically. Here's the bottom line. The Bible tells us what's going to happen with great detail, by the way, before it happens. So when it begins to happen, we'll connect the dots. Wait a minute. Over 2,500 years ago, God, through the prophet Ezekiel, told us that Russia, Iran, and Turkey would be aligned together along with other nations on the cusp of and for the purpose of attacking Israel. It's happening. 2,500 years before, we were told it would happen, and now it is. 5 years ago, Russia, Iran, Turkey, et al. Were not all aligned as they are today. Not even 3 years ago, by the way. Not even 2 years ago, by the way. Isaiah 17 tells us that Damascus, Syria, will become a ruinous heap, complete and total destruction, so much so that it will become uninhabitable. And what do we see? We were told this would happen before, and now we're seeing it begin to happen. And Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 29, I have told you what's going to happen before it happens, so when it happens, you will believe that I am the great I am. In other words, when you see all of these things beginning to happen and come to pass exactly as God's word said it would, then non-believers need to believe and believers need to be ready. Romans 13, verses 11 through 14, the Apostle Paul, true to form, very blunt, really, tells the church in Rome what they need to do. He says, you need to understand the times that you're living in, the present time. The hour has already come. It's time to wake up. I gotta share this. Because I'm not feeling well, that alarm clock went off this morning. And like it does every Sunday morning, I asked the Lord about this. I said, Lord, are there going to be alarm clocks in heaven? He said, no need. I said, thank you, Lord. I can't wait. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, because I don't feel like getting out of bed, but I have to. Oh, my goodness, I just wanted to sleep. But it was time to wake up. So I, as you know, just got back from California, and I took my luggage, and I have it, you know, sort of opened, and I left it out because I need to start packing again because I'm going to be leaving again. So my wife says to me, she says, how come you're not putting your luggage away? I said to her, because I'm going to need it because I'm leaving again. And the Lord, you see where I'm going with this, right? Not that we take anything with us, but it's that notion of, you know what? I'm going to be leaving pretty soon. I'm not going to take the time because of the time I'm in. I'm going to be leaving very soon. Soon and very soon. And that's what Paul is saying. And I think that's the clarion call for the church today. This is why we end our prophecy updates by sharing the good news of salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we do so by way of what's known as the ABCs of salvation. The ABCs of salvation is really just a simple, childlike explanation of how to be saved. The A is for admit or acknowledge you're a sinner and that you need the Savior. This is Romans 3:10 that says, there is no one righteous, not even one. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all been born as sinners under Adam, which is why we must be born again under the second and final Adam, Jesus the Christ. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. It's the death penalty. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, we are saved by grace through faith. It is not of works, nothing we can do to earn it. It's the gift of God, lest any of us should ever boast. The B is for believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And as we just talked about, that he rose again from the dead, defeating death, paying in full our death penalty in his death, which is what we're going to celebrate today. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will, pardon me, be saved. And the C, lastly, is for call upon the name of the Lord, or as Romans 10, 9 and 10 also puts it, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, pardon me. And then Romans 10, 13, which really to me seals the deal. It says, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. This is why we do these prophecy updates. We want for people to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you've never called upon the name of the Lord, we implore you, today is the day of salvation. If you're watching online, we really want to encourage you. There's no accident that you're watching this video. God led you to this video, even this part in the video, because today is the day of salvation. Now, I realize that I'm a little bit over again. I know I never do that, right? So if you are unable to stay for our communion celebration, we certainly understand. But I'm going to ask you to stand at this time. We'll have the worship team come up. I need to mention something about the communion as far as our online church is concerned. So last time we did communion, we always upload the whole service to our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, because we know that we have a number of people that partake of communion with us from all over the world, and that is just such a blessing for us here to know that. However, because the number of subscribers on our YouTube channel has increased, especially recently, there are those who monitor it so they can monetize it. And by monetize it, I mean if we do a song that is copyrighted, even though we pay the copyright license fees as a church so that everybody gets their royalties, there are still those who tag the YouTube video online on our YouTube channel and actually make money from it. And you'll forgive me, but I'm just not okay with that. That's why you'll never see ads on our YouTube videos, ever, ever. Okay? So they'll try to monetize it. So what I asked our AV team to do was to come up with a solution so that our YouTube videos don't get tagged. So what they're going to do is they're going to upload the communion service as a separate video. So this is going to end now before the worship team plays, and then we will upload the communion service on a separate video for those of you who I know are waiting to partake with us. And we just want you to know we're very blessed that you are, but I thought that I needed to explain that so you understand why we're doing what we're doing, okay? So let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much. Cannot thank you enough, Lord. Thank you for the free gift of eternal life. Lord, if there's anyone here or anyone watching online that you have really spoken to today, I pray that they would open up their heart to you, put their trust in you, and call upon you to be saved. Please, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.